Janet Moritz and Barbara Richmond interviewing Anne Lowenthal on December the 9th, 1981. Would you tell us where you live, Mrs. Lowenthal?
Right now, my husband and I live at 144 North Dithridge Street in the cultural area of Pittsburgh, right near the university and the museum and music hall, etc.
Thank you. Now would you tell us something about yourself and your family and the things that you've done?
Yes. I was the second of four children who were all rather close together in age. And that's of some significance because I quickly caught up with my brother in school, and so I was a precocious child in the sense of getting through my grade school. Perhaps I think the earliest anybody did at that time, I was just past my 10th year and had just gotten into my 11th year. I do attribute that to the fact that I was always watching an older brother. I think that may be a syndrome that's characteristic in family structures. And then went on to Schenley High School and took the 4 years there, but was a, shall I mention the fact that I fell in love with Latin?
Oh, absolutely, I'm sure that's perfect.
And that my teacher was an unusual man. He was a graduate of Heidelberg University, and his love of the classics led him to try to imbue all his students with that love, but it worked for me. And he was so interested in my continuing that, I'm not saying too much,
because
he had me teach his, when I was a senior, he had me teach his freshman class for one period, so that as a result, I think there are a number of lawyers and doctors in this city who had their first Latin with me. But I went on with it just for about 2 years at college with Latin, and then was caught up in all the much more dashing things, I thought, you know, psychology and some aspects of literature. But anyway, I don't know at this point how much you want me to go on with just telling about my life. I had two younger siblings, it was a time of varied economic stress at times and difficulties, so that rather early in life, I began to do some work as a measure of self-help. I worked on the Pittsburgh playgrounds in the summer, and I liked it very much, and was sent to various playgrounds where I helped to direct the recreational aspects of taking care of the children during the summer. That provided me with the money to go about some of the things I wanted to do. Early on, I think the Council of Jewish Women had a project to launch Sunday schools in areas that didn't have them, and one was put into my area, and I was just enormously caught up in the work that was given to us, because I did not go to a Hebrew school or have a Hebrew teacher as my brother did. And so that this was my introduction, and the remarkable woman, shall I mention Miriam Schoenfield, I think did this for the Council of Jewish Women and established religious schools all over the city, because I didn't even have Hebrew lessons as my brothers did.
And you were a student at the Sunday school, is that right?
I was a student at the Sunday school. Yes, it's important for me to note that, because apparently my training there was good enough so that while I was a college student, I taught classes at Rhoda Shoham. That was one of the ways I earned my college tuition.
Where was this Sunday school that you attended?
It was on Penn Avenue, and it was, there were not many Jews, but there were enough to have a Sunday school. And this remarkable woman just fired the parents and the children with a zeal to have us learn Jewish history. My brothers went to a, you know, rabbi to study Hebrew, but that was not done for me. So the Sunday school meant a great deal to me, and I was caught up in history that I think maybe my brothers didn't even have.
Was this affiliated with any congregation?
No, it wasn't. It was just placed. They had Sunday schools in various sections of the city. And I say that because I even at a later point in my life went to teach in one of those Sunday schools, I think in Mount Washington or the South Hills or somewhere, because I loved it and I was pretty good at it. And it has been a very important factor in my life. And it's been the basis for many of my later interests.
Interesting. So that and the Latin gave you, were some of the things
I think of that as a pretty good classical background.
I would think so. I would certainly think so. What kind of work did your father do?
My father had a men's furnishing store, a general, store of men's wear. And we were near enough to the mills of the city so that a lot of workmen used to come there. I can remember, I guess, that overalls and things like that may have been the chief thing that, all articles of men's apparel for those things.
And where were you born? Here in Pittsburgh?
Here in Pittsburgh. It was down in the Penn Avenue area, a little, much farther out than the Strip District, but it was a jutting. Synagogue was. It's a little synagogue for the not too many Jewish people, but just enough so that they were inspired to start a synagogue.
Was your family background an Orthodox?
Oh yes, it was an Orthodox. Not strictly so, but I would say that I was liberated from any ties. I should not use the word liberated. I was separated from deep ties in the sense, but this didn't come until my later high school and college years, in the sense that I then really had a quite good Jewish history education, Jewish history and literature education, because that beginning was enough to send me on to begin to teach in Sunday school, and when I did, then I really began to get an education.
And what about your mother? Did she work?
Oh no, she didn't. Well, she had four children,
yes,
quite
right.
Close together, and I can remember lots of canning that went on and lots of, home preparations that went on. And she also helped my father. She worked
in the store.
Yeah, she did work in the store.
And was there an interest in art in your family as well?
As a matter of fact, there was. My mother's family had several members who were, first of all, her father was an architect of housing for a, I guess you would call him a Polish aristocrat, but I would say he was probably, we were Lithuanian, so it was that area. It didn't have the divisions that it had in later years. It was part of Russia, but it was not in Russia itself. And apparently my background there is rather interesting. My grandfather was the architect on that estate and built the buildings and even took charge of that. So that my mother's background, but the girls weren't given a chance at all for this. But I had her older sister who brought her to America was childless. And was a most remarkable influence on my life. She was a very unusual person. And she had no children of her own and was really very much pushed to help my mother all the time, to come all the time and help to rear four children who came rather close together. And this was a much younger sister of hers, and she thought this was a great strain, and it probably was. So that my aunt, this elderly aunt, was one of the great influences in my life. It was like a grandmother, but I don't know if it'd be a glorified grandmother, because I never knew my grandmother. But my Aunt Schiff, we always call her Aunt Schiff, was one of the most important influences in my life.
As far as
every way, in her character and in her interests and her philanthropies and her concerns about human beings. I thought she was, I don't have to think, it's just deep in my subconscious that she was so important. And my mother, it seems, was so busy with just carrying on, keeping, and she helped in our business too, so she was a very busy person. And my brothers got the advantage of a Jewish education, that is a Hebrew education, and I did not. But later I more than passed them by in terms of getting a pretty good Jewish education myself. And that was due to the fact that I taught in the Sunday schools of Miriam Schoenfeld. That's a Council of Jewish Women. First I taught there. In various ones I was sent around the city. I can remember being sent to the South Hills when they had no Sunday school, and I was a Sunday school teacher. Is this on the right road?
Oh, yes, very definitely, yes.
All right. And later on, when I went to college, I earned my tuition by teaching at Rosh Hashanah. I taught 2 days a week, as a matter of fact, and I think I was pretty good because they wanted me for 2 days, and I really loved it. And I have many people here in Pittsburgh who are now, you know, like my age, whom I taught in Sunday school. And I loved the Psalms, and I loved the whole history of my people, and I just loved doing that. Of course, it was good for me. I realize now how much it meant to me.
When you went on to college, you went to
University of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I caught up to my brother, and I was the youngest child to graduate from the Pittsburgh schools. I had just passed my 10th year and had just become 11 years old when I graduated. So that when I went on to high school, I was 11 years old, so that I finished when I was 14 years old, just before my 15th birthday. That's when I entered college. But I didn't shorten any of it. I mean, I didn't do it in less time. I really couldn't once I was in college because I had to work. And I worked, as I said, on the playgrounds in the summer, and they paid pretty well, so I had 2 months of work there. And I worked at Rosh Hashanah 2 days a week.
And when you entered the University of Pittsburgh, did you have any idea what your goals were then?
I was mad about Latin, and that was because I had Dr. Amon Louie, who, as I said, I mentioned he was a very remarkably cultured man, a Heidelberg graduate who had, and he early took a fancy to me. And he had me teach Latin in my senior year in high school. So as I mentioned, I may have mentioned, I don't know, there are so many people here in Pittsburgh who first had their Latin from me. Of course, he sat in the back of the class and said he was busy doing things, but I think he felt a certain need to make sure that everybody felt satisfied about it. I went on with Latin at the university, but only until I met psychology. And then I thought that was for me, you see.
Yes.
But it's a shame I really did not go on with my a classical education. I don't know how I missed out on really making that my field, because I have a great feeling and respect for it now that isn't really integrated into my being as other things are.
But in some way or another, you did explore it and certainly came to great use in all that you did in the rest of your life, I'm sure.
I took several years of Latin at the university. Oh, I would say it had a great influence on my general knowledge and English and understanding of languages. I think it certainly led me, you know, to understand what I was doing in French, or I never studied Spanish. It was mainly the Latin languages. But, and I'm very happy to say that my own children seemed, I think that was because Mary went to Winchester and she was very good in Latin. And I didn't have anything to do with that, but she must have had the same proclivity. And I thought generally in the classics they were, they had a good feeling about it. But I think it's partly because our whole background as a family has been placed at a level of great respect for classical education. I would like, if you don't mind, just to say here that my husband's family was so remarkably educated. His home was in Cincinnati, but they didn't always live in Cincinnati. They lived across the river in Kentucky, a little town in Kentucky at part of the time. His father was the head of a Hebrew school. And early on, they all were definitely pointed toward a fine education. They were all an educated family. Shall I talk about this now? If you want me to, I will. But
well,
if you want me to go on my own,
I would really
say,
prefer that
all
you go on about yourself.
Right.
That's most interesting.
Yes.
So you decided then that you were going to major in psychology. Was that your major?
When I met the field, when I really got into the field of psychology, I thought, well, that's really what I think is interesting and good. But I was not too and I entered the School of Education later on, and I majored in education in order to have an occupation.
Yes.
And after my college education, I did teach in public schools for about 2 years. I taught sixth grade, I think, in the sixth and seventh. And I didn't feel that I was as good as that as I could be in something that would fulfill me more. And somehow or other, the psychology kept creeping up. But that time, nobody mentioned to me that I could have done something more in psychology. Nobody really found, how I didn't find it out. I think even if I had done psychological testing, I would have perhaps found myself in that field. But discovered while I was teaching school that they had opened a department at the University of Pittsburgh for personnel administration and other aspects of managing people. And my psychology seemed to fit in with that, at least at the beginning of that. So I took my master's degree at the University of Pittsburgh, and immediately upon my completion of that, I got a job in Toledo, Ohio, in their leading department store in personnel work, because this school trained for personnel work. Should I go on with this?
Oh, yes, certainly.
And I was an assistant in that, and I learned a great deal. First of all, having to live by myself, having to learn to adjust, I was taken on. By the way, that's the important thing. The president of the Council of Jewish Women in Toledo received a letter from the president of the Council of Jewish Women in Pittsburgh telling who I was, and that they would like very much for her to have me meet people in the community. Oh, it was marvelous, a marvelous help. And that really started me off. I had a wonderful life in Toledo. My associations branched out into all fields. I got to know many people in the community who had wonderful interests, and my job led to a great advance of my own being and my own education and whole formation as a person. The president of the company was on the board of the art museum there. And he called me in one day and said, I want you to go there and find out what they can do for us here. I want you to find out. I had charge of all the education of the employees. Not at first, I was just an assistant. And later I became the head of the department. And he opened the door for that. And we had the art museum people come in the mornings before the department store was open. We had department store people meet with our executives, and we had the art museum people meet with our executives. They found it the greatest adventure of their program to see how they could integrate a museum into a body of working of people who were carrying out their own work and a vital part of the community. And we had a wonderful time as a result because the president, Alfred Cook was his name, encouraged every step toward finding new ways that a museum could help in the workplace and could help in the, in the improvement and deepening of the knowledge of those who were in the workplace. That was, to him, very important. And just imagine how great that opportunity was for me. I was part of it. I was the one who worked with the museum people. And that meant that I learned a great deal. So that later on, when he encouraged, he was a great traveler. Every year he'd go to Europe. He was an aristocratic person. And he encouraged me to take my first trip to Europe. And he said, I'm giving you this summer off so that you can go and do that. And gave me a lot of help in doing that.
About what year was this?
What years? You mean?
That you spent in Toledo.
I would say I was there from about 1926 for maybe 5 or 6 years.
And is this about the time that you met your husband?
No. While I was in Toledo, I received an offer. I did do well in my work, and I received an offer from Kaufman's to come there and head their personnel department. And I thought that sounded fine. I came back to the city. It could have been anywhere. In fact, I had other job offers in other cities, but this sounded pretty good to me. And I came back, and at that time, the children in my family were all got married, you know, had left the home. My father and mother moved into an apartment. There was no way that I could be part of their lives anymore. And anyway, I was grown up and I was an adult. So I took an apartment I got a job for a friend of mine, who was my best friend. She lived with me, as a matter of fact, in Toledo. I got a job for her at Kaufman, a very good job. She became an executive. And we took an apartment on the lower floor here, and that's how I met my husband. He was just living here in another apartment, or living in a nearby apartment, and we met. This was just the part. So I did continue to work for a number of years, and then, I will tell you then why I wasn't working after some time. I don't know whether it follows.
It doesn't matter if it follows or not.
I know what happened. When I actually decided that I was coming back to Pittsburgh, and then the University of Pittsburgh said they would like to have me come to teach there, to teach personnel work.
This is after you were working at Kaufman's.
That's right. And I thought that was a wonderful idea for me. And so I did. And I became a professor of personnel administration. But I was already either engaged or had just gotten married then, so that I could afford to do this instead of the much better paying job I had at Kaufman's. You don't have to print all this. You don't have to add all this, but I'm just mentioning it to put the story together.
Yes.
But one thing I should go back and mention is that remarkable president that I worked under also encouraged me very much to travel. He said, I think you owe it to yourself to take every opportunity to learn about the world. I myself am a great believer, and he was. He would go to Europe every year, and when he'd come back, he would call me to his office and he would say, do you see that piece of glass? That is Lalique. That's the first Lalique that they have ever shown in France, because he went every year. And he said, just look at it. He said, I think you ought to know more about glass. Toledo is a great glass center and you ought to learn. I said, yes, I know I do, and the museum is showing more. And glass has been a matter of great interest to me, as a matter of fact, just because of that deepening of my knowledge. I'm going to ask you to turn around and see that one of the things we did when we started to go to Israel was each year buy a treasure of ancient glass. That's glass that's just been found in the earth in Israel. And so glass just seems to be one of the things we have been interested in. But that partly was under the guidance of, this comes later in my story though, of my husband's very dear friend from Cincinnati, who was Dr. Nelson Glick, the greatest biblical archaeologist. And he's the one that took us in hand about the great glass lies in the earth in Palestine, because he had dug up every bit of Palestine, you see, and so he would say, I think he really guided us on our way from the very beginning, but that's a later part of the story. So, anyway, where shall I go on from here? The University of Pittsburgh asked me when I got married if I would come and teach there in the field of personnel administration, because I had this very practical background and had a master's degree and had, you know, was able to be on that faculty. And I liked that very much. And many people that I helped to train remember me and talk to me, though they spread throughout the world. And then, not too long after we were married, well, several years after, my husband, who comes from a family of 8 children, very unusual family. The boys went to Yale and the girls went to Smith. They're all very well educated. Anyway, he lost 3 siblings under the age of 50. And he said to me one day, if that's my pattern, and you have not just yet arrived at the age of 50, let's go see the world. So we both, well, I retired then. He could keep up his work. But we just started out. The first thing we did was go to it was Palestine then. It was not Israel.
What year was this?
1937. And we were greeted there by, it was not yet, you know, Israel. That is, it was not yet a settled state. We were greeted there by Dr. Nelson Glick, the great biblical archaeologist. I will never forget sitting in the King David and watching him stride in with pith helmet and all his equipment, you know, his short pants and just the way he was ready to go out into the field. And he came right over and embraced us and said, I've got your program all set out for you. You're going to the 5 Nabataean cities, which I knew nothing about. And you're going to this place and you're going to that place, and I've arranged for certain sharks that you're going to see that are very special that I can tell you about. And we started out. And under his direction, we went to see these places. He would either send somebody along or just tell us how to start, and we would find our way, you know, some way or other. So that was a very remarkable experience. Another part of that experience was that by that time, Jews were settling there, and the beginnings of a state, but not actually a state declared. And there were letters about us from the National JDC and UJA, and had been sent to a few people. And they said, well, go to Meyerson. She was Golda Meyerson. She wants to see you. Somebody else said, Teddy Kollek is a young fellow around here who knows everything about everything. You've got to meet him. So all these things happened to us very early, and we had known these people for years and years. But Golda is gone now, but she was one of our very closest contacts, and Teddy Kollek to this day is our very closest friend there. So my husband, I start to say, early on lost these members of his family under the age pattern. We must lose no time and go and see the world. And so not only do we have we gone to Israel every year, I mean Palestine before Israel, except the war years, the war years there, or war years in Europe. And I must say this has been the most privileged existence because we so early on got to know the, how did we knew they were the George Washingtons and the great people. And we knew this was an intimate knowing. We were at their homes. They knew what we were doing. We knew what they were doing. So that after it became Israel, well, I would say we devoted a good part of our lives to helping it to exist and to helping it to flourish and to helping it to survive. And I can tell you that my husband worked very hard with a very special small group of men who almost, they were pledged in every way to help in every possible way. To raise the money, they were always out to